Much, Guy. Appreciate the intro, and thanks to Hits and Mesa for putting together such an amazing event. Unbelievable. So let's talk about the VOD content value chain and how it needs to evolve to move VOD forward. This is incredibly exciting, very different than the last talk. We're going to get into the weeds for sure, but really exciting, especially if you are a process efficiency geek like me. So let's get into it. So why do we even care about this? Well, this is the whole process that we can go through to get our content ultimately to our end customers. Within this process, I think a lot of folks know this, this is where you define all the questions around that content, the what, the where, the when, the how, what content is in scope, where, the territories, where can I show that, when do they want it, what are the windows, and how. How is becoming a more and more complex question. Different business models, different devices, in-network, out-of-network, all the rights complexities, that's where the how comes in. But I think most importantly, this is our opportunity to describe our content and price it the right way. And we think of an automated content value chain, we can think of adaptive strategies, real-time feedback, price changes based on what we see, so we can ultimately drive more conversions. So, why do we really care? I mean, I love about saving money, seems to be a big thing. Everyone, that's how we justify the investment, but this is really about making more money on the content that we have access to. And if you look at it, traditional pay TV, I think everyone's familiar, well, if you're not, traditional pay TV revenue over the next 5 years is expected to flatline. What's gonna drive growth? Well, VOD's gonna be a critical item, expected to grow 64% in the next 5 years. So we have to invest in this and figure out how to extract more value, taking advantage of the platform, from VOD content. So, what exactly is the content value chain anyway? This is very exciting. We're going to go through this. A lot of conversations earlier in the day about spreadsheets and manual processes. Well, first I'll take you through the content value chain as I think what it can be. Let's call this the aspirational view. Left-hand side, we've got our content providers, our aggregators, the folks that have rights to content. In the middle, our distributors that are distributing content, digital retailers, traditional MSOs, OTT platforms. And of course, on the right-hand side, look at our happy customers. They're multi-diverse, they're happy. We know they're happy because they're smiling. So that's really exciting. And in a perfect world, the interaction between the content providers and the retailers and OTT players, it's some bi-directional, programmatic, all the content's uniquely identified. There's a clear handshake, we know when content got there. And what does that do? It triggers a fulfillment process. So ultimately, those retailers and MSOs and OTT platforms, well, they can get content to their end customer. And I also want to talk about that bottom line, real feedback on pricing, this round tripping. It's absolutely essential in the digital age that near real-time pricing and the results of strategies is made available to the content providers. And why? So they can adapt, they can change. They can say, oh, I made this price change in this particular territory, and lo and behold, we made 2% more. Those 2% add up very, very quickly. So that's the happy case. So let's talk about what the case is today, how this actually works. Well, avails distribution is a primary way that content goes, the definition of that content. You've got some bidirectional players. No one does this in real time, but at least they use XML as a vehicle. That's a few players, but for the most part, it's spreadsheets. And spreadsheets. And spreadsheets and spreadsheets and lots and lots and lots of spreadsheets. Now, thankfully, we have the EMA format. We'll talk a bit, that standard, we'll talk a bit about that. It's great that at least we're speaking the same language. We know what content is in that spreadsheet. But you also have these shadow spreadsheet formats. They're all different. Trust me, we create a lot of them, and it's no fun. And spreadsheets, listen, as an analytics platform, spreadsheets are great. It's a great tool. When it comes to driving automation around a business process, spreadsheets aren't the greatest thing. But it doesn't end with spreadsheets, of course. PDF, email, and images. These are wonderful things, unstructured data that we can't parse. So how do we handle that? Well, we have people looking at these different images and trying to figure that out. Take this content down. This is the real world. RSS feeds. Another nice source we've got, and my favorite, this is definitely my favorite, the phone. Someone mentioned getting rid of fax machines. That was, I took out the fax machine. I just didn't have the heart to put it on there. But this is the reality of how that information gets sent to the actual retailers. So they're sad. And why are they sad? Because, well, they have the complexity of just trying to aggregate all this content so they can make that available to the end customers. And the end customers are sad because they're not finding, look, see how they went from happy to sad? It's a nice graphic. They're sad because obviously they're not finding the content they want. And don't think of the big blockbusters. The big blockbusters, they get special, you know, focus. Talk about long tail content when it's available in different regions as it goes through the chain. And now let's talk about feedback. How is that feedback on pricing provided? Well, what do you think? Spreadsheets. More and more spreadsheets. We love spreadsheets in this industry to communicate everything. So lots of spreadsheets. I'm just going to keep clicking here. And of course, PDFs, emails, again, more emails, lots of emails. How many emails did he put in here? All right, and here's the key. The actual feedback, even if it was in a more usable format, some have unique IDs. We'll talk about EIDR, an incredibly important standard here. But the frequency of reporting, well, some report daily if you're lucky, a lot weekly, monthly, quarterly. That's the world. So I look at this, and I actually thought when my marketing guy put this together, I'm like, it's a Jackson Pollock painting. It's like, this is the beautiful, it's wonderful abstract expressionism, but when it comes to creating a real business process that's efficient, obviously this is a bit of a disaster. And I think we heard a lot about that throughout the day. What do we need to do? And here's the reality. This is only going to get harder. We know this story. More distribution platforms. 100 SVOD services in North America alone. Every day, another SVOD service. It makes sense. Worldwide, there'll be hundreds, I'm sure. Different business models, product types, rights, adding more and more complexity to this whole chain. Even the fundamental definition of what content is changing. Short form, these clips, they need to be monetized. How are they going to be tracked through this supply chain with spreadsheets? You're going from one piece of content to a million pieces of content overnight. So, what can we do? Pouty lip says it all. First of all, some basic principles. We need to speak the same language. That's absolutely essential. And of course, better feedback, we talked about that. Take advantage of the digital distribution. As transactions happen, there should be real-time reporting. That's the whole point of digital. We can adapt, we can react. And really, for anybody to actually make any true investment, we have to show how this is going to drive money and efficiency, or they'll just ignore it. So let's talk about the same language and the importance. I've got a pop quiz here. This is the Mars Climate Orbiter. This was sent up by NASA in 1999. It was a bit of a disaster. Does anybody know when this spaceship was entering or attempting to enter the Mars orbit, it crashed and burned? So anybody know why? Yes, somebody. Close, miles and kilometers. It was thrust in pounds versus thrust in newtons. So $125 million, which I guess is not that much from NASA, but certainly a fair amount of money, went up in flames because half the software expected it to be in pounds and half of it in newtons. I couldn't believe it when I read that, but that's the reality. And when you talk about truly automating this whole value chain, this whole supply chain, listen, if we're not speaking the same language and you really want automation to take over, these disasters will happen. Content will get out there that shouldn't be out there because there was some confusion. Pricing, well, we thought this was supposed to be $4, instead it's $22. It's a bit of a disaster. So let's talk about speaking the same language. And thankfully, some really positive developments have been occurring over the last, several years on this front. We've got EIDR. Who's familiar with EIDR here? Let's all adopt and embrace EIDR. If we don't have content, if we don't have a unique identifier around that content, I mean, we can't even have a conversation. So, well, the good news is, September last year, big announcement, Eider hit a million records. Awesome. Obviously, if you don't even have the records, well, there's really no conversation occurring. So what's the bad news? Well, MediaMorph is in a pretty, my company's in a pretty interesting position. We process about 65, it keeps growing, but 65% of all the TVOD and EST transactions that are in the world. So we have really interesting visibility because we aggregate all this stuff, that first, you know, crazy slide. Well, we're in the thick of all that. And if you look at it, and this is just limited to the actual retailers that are willing to provide transactional data, this is as of last week, because I had them run the numbers, 7.5% had Eider IDs. So we can have a great directory, but if no one embraces the ID, if they're not reporting on it, well, that's kind of useless. So we as an industry need to force that. I was just talking to somebody at the break. There are contractual obligations that lots of retailers and OTT providers have in their contract that they have to enforce this, but yet it doesn't happen. It gets escalated, they're like, don't worry about it. It's just too much of a hassle. I will tell you, if we don't embrace this and we don't enforce it, I mean, VOD will not evolve the way it should. Another standard digital EMA. This is a standard around commercial avails distribution. Again, it's primarily focused using spreadsheets because, you know, the digital EMA team and everybody involved with that is smart enough to know that, you know, we love spreadsheets here. So let's at least, I guess, crawl before we can stand and then eventually walk and run. But obviously, it's one-way communication. It's not bi-directional. Again, when you start thinking about an automated value chain, it's obviously not, well, the EMA has to evolve and it has to become bi-directional. That interaction needs to be programmatic, and it's got to be clear what we're talking about, and there has to be a clear, you know, recognition of that's the content. Yep, I know what that content is. And again, think of a world where short form, every piece of content is uniquely identified. We're talking billions and billions of records. That's where this goes to. A million records for Eider is good. It'll probably be a billion before you know it. So we need to embrace and evolve these standards. So, better feedback. This is really interesting information. 7 days and 50%. So that represents, based on all the data we track, roughly, when content is introduced in an area, 50% of the revenue is going to be generated within the first 7 days of release. Kind of makes sense. New content, everyone wants it. And I will say this is limited to TVOD and EST. So what do you think the 3.5 days represents? What was that? I can't hear you. But it doesn't matter. I'll tell you. the three and a half days, it represents, did someone say reporting? I hope they did because I couldn't. That's what it is. The actual retailers and MSOs and OTT players, the ones that just have the decency to provide this information, on average, it takes 3.5 days for them to submit that. So think about it. A huge chunk of the revenue has been generated, and the content providers don't have any visibility until 3.5 days. Again, 3.5 days doesn't sound that bad, but it was interesting. And a lot of the projects we're involved with, when the folks that were involved in the supply chain on the physical side, when they're getting this information nearly instantly, every hour, all the stores were reporting, and they're like, I've got to wait a quarter to see what actually happened. So this is an area that we need to invest material time. And what's even more challenging on the feedback side here is there is no notion of a standard. Spreadsheets, push, pull, there needs to be. I understand the reporting, it seems to be secondary, but this is going to be vital. It's going to be vital for the industry because based on the feedback, based on real outcomes, we need to adapt strategies. That's what has to happen. All about driving more money from the content we have. Okay, so let's talk about alignment. And why is this so challenging? Look at that bridge. I guess that's a bridge. Doesn't seem to be aligned. Listen, huge amount of complexity getting this right. Lots of moving parts, legacy systems, how is this all going to work, evolving standards. But really, what makes it even more challenging is the alignment, or really lack of alignment between the folks that are involved with the content value chain. The content providers, what do they care about? Well, they care about getting information as quickly as possible. They want to see results. How is my content being consumed? Why? Because they can centrally make decisions. I issued a stunt. Was it effective? If I find out, the stunt's a week, and 2 weeks later I found out how effective it was. That's not a viable model. And on the actual retailers and OTTs and OTT and MSO providers, well, they care about how do I efficiently move content through their fulfillment process and make that content available to their end customers, because that's what they want to do. So you've got this challenge. What brings it all together? Well, these intelligent automation and management systems. It's not just that MediaMorph does this and a variety of competitors do this. It's every industry that has embraced automating and driving a more efficient supply chain. Technology providers come in, they fill the gaps. Why? There was lots of interesting conversations early in the day about, you know, innovative technologies, not being burdened by legacy. Netflix was used as an example. That's great. But for some of the major studios, you've got many, many years of legacy. You've got systems that do critical things. You can't just abandon those things. So these intelligent automation systems, what are they supposed to do? Well, first, they're supposed to embrace the standards. So the really smart people can all get together and set the standard. But actually, the content providers, well, you want to spend your time making content, as opposed to figuring out how to actually, do I take 23 systems that have evolved over 10 years and make those 23 systems speak that new standard? That's what these intelligent automation and management systems need to do. They need to scale. I don't mean volume. Transactional volume in this day and age, if anybody's having trouble with that, you know, shame on you. This is about scaling business models. The effort needs to go, the intelligence. I know that I've got this vehicle now. There'll be a new business process later. I need to have a smart system that I'm not sitting there saying, oh, bring in the consultants 10 years later. We'll be supporting that. That's not viable. So these intelligent automation and management systems, like that'll be the glue that brings this all together. And again, we'll talk about it's making more money, driving efficiency, saving money, all great things. But the reality is, like, that bridge needs to be, we need to fix that bridge. This is too much content, too much complexity. It's not going to work. So let's talk about outcomes, or at least why. This is an interesting quote. So I said, find me a quote that shows why we should do this. And there's not so much out there, because not many organizations have really embraced this, but this was really fascinating. BCG, Leaders in the Digital Supply Chain Management. I don't have to read it for you. You can read it. But look at this. 40 to 110% higher operating margins. We're not talking 5%. 25% faster response times, 10% increases in product availability. You know what that means? That means more money, more top line. We can process this content faster. We can get it to our customers faster. Again, don't think of the giant release, Star Wars, the 40th anniversary. Everybody's going to make sure Star Wars is up. Talk about the long tail content. That's the content. And when my kids say, I want that, I'm like, oh, where is it? The actual entity that has that content available, that's where they'll consume it. And that's where we'll pay the money. 30% better realization of working capital reductions. I mean, these are material. Companies that are embracing this concept, they're getting material benefits. So, I didn't even know there was a timer there. 26 seconds left? Man. Okay, the last quote with my 20 seconds left that I'll leave you with. This was said by a major studio, major Hollywood studio executive. We didn't have the ability to put his name on there, but I can assure you that it's a real person. Streamlining the digital supply chain. We were able to scale revenue by 3x, hundreds of millions of dollars. What's interesting here is not we did it and we kept the same staff, which is true. It's we did it. The old way, it literally would have taken a small army of people to actually handle this. It wasn't tenable. And that's the message. I know I started in the whole thing. How do we make more money from this content? But I will tell you, we are at the tipping point, past the tipping point. Certainly, we will come to the tipping point quickly. The current models, that spreadsheet, I can go back to that slide. I can send it to any of you. You can put it on your wall. But that model is just not going to work. So we need to embrace these concepts. We need to put real effort behind it. We need to embrace the standards, and we need to force people to embrace the standards at both sides of the actual value chain. Like another 43 seconds? Yeah, you put more time.
The clock's now ticking up.
It
Rob.
Is ticking
that means
up.
You're out.
Do I have to keep talking? No, I think that's it. So
ladies and gentlemen,
so
Rob
much.
Gardas.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.